Is remember, God is in control of the universe and only lets evil go so far. I'm about to leave this studio, go down to the podcasting studio, and interview a very interesting fellow, Myron Gaines. You don't want to miss that. Got a bunch of big topics we haven't hit and breaking news we're going to get to with him. But Jesse, I want to give you the floor in the last 5 minutes just to hit any other points, because I don't interrupt a lot because you're so smart. It all just triggers me. Everything you're saying, you know, is just dead on. When I met you, I already knew who you were. I was like, God, this guy knows what you're talking about. You got to come over like a 2-hour commercial free soon here. You said all your exhibits, and I can't wait to get you in town. But in 4 minutes we got left, you got the floor.
Well, you know, my work has been to help those who are suffering with this HA phenomenon, Havana syndrome phenomenon, and they truly are. They're being attacked 24/7, 365 days a year. Because of our efforts and platforms like yours, Alex, and Sean Johnson, and all of those other platforms who have allowed me to have a voice, to allow the millions of people that are out there following our work and who we represent, this has been an honor. And more whistleblowers continue to come through and forward. We have another MI6, former MI6 agent who is about to come forward, and he was friends with one of the scientists who, you know, there's a phenomenon where there's been about 13 scientists so far who have disappeared, suicided themselves, or they don't know what has happened to them. They're just missing. But this particular scientist, her name was Amy Eckridge, and she was complaining about suffering from this directed energy weapon, Havana syndrome issue. And she was on video saying, I am not suicidal. I do not want to kill myself. And made sure that the world knew about it. So she went to the extent of videotaping herself and putting it out there. And then 4 hours later, she was found with a gunshot wound to the head. And they claim it was suicide. I know these types of things.
And didn't she also get hit with a directed energy weapon?
Yes, she was complaining about being hit with deuce. And so we're right now working on coordinating that interview. And, you know, I'll be sure to make sure that we show our first viewing on your show, your platform, Alex, because you have been such a supporter, you and Sean. And we really appreciate you. And I guarantee you, you are a voice for all of those victims out there who are suffering from this and that have no help because our federal government will not represent them. And this is why I say every
Well, listen, to interrupt you. I've interviewed
there.
People like, what was his name? He was a certified Iran-Contra CIA guy, testified in Congress. He's still around. I remember him like 5 years. One, he was exposing him in like the early 90s. In his house, they blew him out of his bed with a directed energy, blew his arm out of socket, fried. He got old welts all over him. And then they told him, do it again. We're going to hit with full power. But they had this a long time.
Yes. Well, that's what Rafe talks about. He says it's a multifaceted system. Remember, he says initially their agents and their assets are being, they're using this as a communication device, synthetic telepathy. So they read your thoughts in nanosecond latency, so real time. But if you step out of line or don't follow orders, then they turn it up a little and becomes a torture device. And if you really get out of line, it becomes lethal. And he went through all three of those phases, but fortunately survived it. So, you know, this is why I say to everyone out there who thinks that this is not going to happen to them, you better think twice. Because eventually it's going to happen to everyone if we don't utilize
I totally agree.
Our cooperation,
Jesse,
our condition.
I agree. We can come together and meet it. We'll talk to you soon. Mashpeace.health, promo code Alex 10% off. Everybody needs to get Mashpeace. It's incredible zeolite. Thank you so much, Jesse, and God bless you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Alex. You too.
Thanks for being here on our first news show, the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Stay with us. Well, Bloomberg and the Democrats think they've shut down InfoWars. It's just URL. But the InfoWar is we the people. The real power of this operation is you. So they are desperate right now. They are panicking. The whole world's waking up. They are praying that you don't share these two URLs. AlexJonesLive.com, our new news site, with all the articles, the streaming, the special reports, everything they fear. And AlexJonesApp.com, where you can download the free Android and Apple apps and then share with everybody you know. So take those two URLs, hit your whole email list, your text message list, tell your neighbors, your friends, your family, perfect strangers. The second American Revolution worldwide is happening right now. The spirit of 1776 is alive and well through you. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. The ball's in your court. Now take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. There is a white supremacy problem, and it's weird, old, elitist white people that are literally manipulating everybody, killing each other so they can stay in power. And it pisses me off when I sit there pissed off watching this, watching these wild-eyed, crazy people that want to kill me because what color I am. I know who brainwashed them. I know who wound them up. I know who sent them. I don't blame the dumbasses. No, I blame Carbo and John Podesta and the Clintons and Obama and the rest of them. That's who I blame. I know they got whistleblowers out the door at the DOJ. The problem is they don't have prosecutors with testicles to do the job. Can you feel the future? Can you feel the danger? Can you feel the destruction? I certainly do. But I don't think you dumbasses that serve evil do. See, you're in a new ball game. It's a new era. And you know what Thomas Jefferson said? The blood of patriots and tyrants waters the tree of liberty. And I don't want that. And there's a good chance we can avoid a lot of that. But not according to the left. They are just whole hog, let's get it on. And so, you know my view, I think it's your view, not out starting fights, not trying to get in trouble. But if people are looking for trouble, they came to the right place. If you want a war, you got one. If you have some need to be stomped into the ground, well, you came to the right place with the American people. Because America was asleep, and you thought we were intimidated while you pissed in our faces and did all this to us. No, people were asleep. The spell is lifted. It's over. You need to learn to look at a weather vane and see which way the wind blows. It's blowing against you, and this wind, this headwind, is unstoppable. The only question is, are you smart enough to understand that? Surrender is your only option. Surrender now. Give up now. Stop now.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
If, by Rudyard Kipling, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to, broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools,
1776 will commence again.
If you can make one heap of all your winnings, and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss, If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but are none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And, which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
Didn't get it. The onion didn't get it. Everything good? Good. Did all that go out?
Yeah.
Good. I just didn't have any audio until I just got it by ear.
Yeah, sorry. So I had to fix a route back to your ear.
Well, I'm not bitching. I'm not complaining. But all, should I repeat anything?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is the first time we've been doing this in here live, so.
Yeah, no worries.
It's going to be, which I don't mind. You know, it's like Access TV is where I started off, so I'm kind of used to that. So did we get the intro to him and all that?
No, I had to. I stepped away to go fix something, and so I didn't realize you were going to go live at the time. And Derek was here. I didn't realize you went live and didn't open your mic there. So, repeat.
Okay, so let's start over. Myron Gaines, that must have been great. Everybody watching me sitting there talking on TV. I don't know how I'll repeat all that. You have a very popular podcast. I was out there with you in Miami. I was wanting to get you on the show for the last month. But you were saying, I'm going to wait. I didn't know you wanted to come to town. Yeah. So then I finally got you. Oh, great, he's on. She was, and Daria, my producer, said, no, he's on the show in person. So I said, stay a day. You're here with us. So much to get into. So much to talk about. The Onion was not able to take us over, but they coordinated with the state court to shut us down today so they could. So they didn't get it, but they were able to shut us down. And so now they are just totally enraged, totally pissed off, just to recap that. But I wanted to get you back on to talk about big picture America, where we see all this going. And you know, I'm not obsessed with Israel, except when Israel is coming in to take over our foreign policy.
Yeah.
Israel said bracing for Iran fighting to resume soon as Trump briefing on military options. We get an overhead shot, that'd be great. And then we've got over here, U.S. cable outlines new construct to control Strait of Hormuz. And then we've got right here. And then we've got this other stuff here. Eye-opening graphic shows how Iran war is most unpopular conflict in the last 76 years. Pentagon. Congress said in 60 days they would do a war powers vote. Now they're not. Mm-hmm. We have also Israel is coming out saying, oh, Trump's a loser if he doesn't do a ground war, doesn't get all the uranium, which is impossible, yeah. Needle in a haystack. Even if they did get it all, even though Iran gave it up, Israel's not going to say that's the case. So now Trump wants ground troops. He got briefed yesterday on it. They're talking about it. How insane is that? Have a foreign government that wants a wider Israel literally taking us into total destruction with the interest rates about to go up, with the inflation exploding, destroying Trump's plan. How the hell do they do this? Is Trump compromised?
You know, a lot of people think that way. And I'll tell you this and we were talking about this yesterday, the Zagros Mountains. And then obviously, because Iran is like literally fortified. So like to the west, you got the Zagros Mountains, which, you know, Saddam Hussein had a very difficult time with being able to traverse that. And then obviously you got the Alborz Mountains to the north. So an invasion would be catastrophic. I mean, we were struggling with, you know, some weirdos in, with the Taliban in Afghanistan with the way that their setup is, the geography with the mountains, it would be a nightmare with an actual real military. Because keep in mind, the IRGC is not their army. They got something called the Artesh. The IRGC is like a whole other component that answers directly to the supreme leader. So, and they're like a million strong between all their different armed forces. So it would be a nightmare to do a ground assault into Iran. And I hope not, because my thing is, you know, the Iraq war was one of the biggest monumental F-ups that we could have ever had. And to see us repeating history, that's why I'm so outspoken about this war, because I just don't want to happen again, because we don't have the same level of access with independent media that we had, you know, we have way more now than we did 20, 30 years ago.
And let's remember that the Pentagon, the Joint Chiefs, all of them told Trump, don't do this. Yeah. It was the Mossad and Netanyahu, and even the IDF said, no, we won't probably get regime change. So even they told Trump, well, go ahead and do it, but don't expect this. So Trump got lied to. Now we're 62 days in, completely suckered, and now he thinks, oh, I'll double down, and they'll fall by going into one of the most dangerous areas built like a trap, the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah, I mean, they have an enormous amount of launchers, and the thing is with them is that they have these launchers that can shoot a rocket and then, you know, go right back underground or move or whatever. And, you know, it's funny because I remember the first couple of days of the war, I remember they said, oh, we destroyed 90% of their launchers. There's 100 launchers left. Well, we know that's not true. You know, that they have way more than we think. And, you know, in every single way, we militarily underestimated Iran and their ability to not only just, you know, mount a retaliation, but also to, you know, take a lot of damage. And, you know,
but the Pentagon didn't, and Trump ignored them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They
warned him. That's what kills me. A week before, dude, they put out this intel report like, hey, If you kill the Ayatollah, it's not going to really make that much of a difference. And he did it anyway, which is like the most disturbing part here. And then Marco Rubio let us slip. Oh, yeah, well, we knew the Israelis were going to attack. And then we knew that if an attack happened, that they were going to attack both of us. So we got involved. So basically, they did drag us into war, for anyone that wants to sit there and say, well, no, they didn't drag us into war. They absolutely did, because we had no choice, because we knew that if Israel attacked, they would have attacked both of us regardless. It's crazy, dude. Absolutely nuts.
And now it appears Trump's going to double down. How the hell do we get him to stop this? I mean, it's going to kill his recovery. It already is. It's so. And then we're called traitors if we just point out stuff we've been proven right. We're all vindicated, but we're still the bad guys.
Every big conservative needs to rally against this war and criticize it, say it's bad. Talk about it, because the thing is like, look, I get it. There's a lot of people that are Trump loyalists or whatever, but this war is going to hurt everybody, right? And we're already looking at people paying twice for the price of gas now, with 400 million barrels of oil out of strategic reserve, with him putting all these Truth Social posts out there trying to time the markets. So, you know, it's only a matter of time until we really feel the consequences of this, and it's coming sooner than later, right? Like, we don't feel it yet 100%, because obviously this is still a relatively new event, but in a couple months, it's going to really start hurting. And then,
well, the economists are saying it's happening quicker than they thought. It's actually worse than they thought it would be.
Yeah, well, with the fertilizer, like, yeah, other countries are feeling it way worse than us. Like Australia, for example, they're going to have a food shortage. They don't even
and
have
jet
the fertilizer.
Fuel. They're almost out.
England, yep. I saw in England they had to shut down a couple of airlines and flights. Also, Keir Starmer, I watched the, like a couple weeks into the war, England already is kind of having like a full panic mode with energy. They've already started subsidizing people's electric and gas in the UK. So, you know, this is just very bad. And it completely backfired because we've emboldened and strengthened our enemies. Like, Russia's making money hand over fist now because the sanctions have been lifted. So they're selling their gas. They're selling their oil. You know, a country that was the number one, the most sanctioned country in the world is now making money a whole bunch.
I mean, for me, China's a big threat. The EU, right. The globalists, the left, the whole leftist red-green alliance with, you know, Islam components. So I was always like, Israel criticizing USS Liberty. Yeah, AIPAC, they're a problem, blah, blah, blah. But one place where I was blindsided is that Trump didn't let Israel control his foreign policy. He did Abraham Accords and things that seemed reasonable in the last administration, but also seemed friendly to Israel, but seemed friendly to the Arabs and the Muslims. So I was for it. Now he's doing something so reckless, but the Israel knows they're dragging us in this. They know it's a long war, and it's so reckless of Israel. And so Israel really is now the number one threat to world peace. It's the most unpopular country in the world in Gallup polls. It's only getting worse. It knows it's got this position. So now it wants to drag us in, thinking, well, we'll win if America's on our side. I mean, this is madness.
Yeah, and, you know, I think a lot of the problems here, you know, and I truly do think if we want to figure out the Middle East and solve the problems in the Middle East, we have to answer the Palestine question. And that is the reason why we've had all these issues there. The Israelis don't want to create a one-state or a two-state solution. That's why they killed Yitzhak Rabin back in the 90s, because he was working towards a two-state solution with Yasser Arafat. But until we handle this, we're always going to have problems in the Middle East. And Israel looks at it like, well, we have no need to negotiate because the U.S. is going to back us no matter what we do. So we can behave as reckless as we want. We can bomb all our enemies and all our neighbors because there's nothing telling them that they have to exercise some level of diplomacy. That's why they're so reckless in their foreign policy. So I think that would be
well, what's huge. The magic button with Israel?
Because
like you said yesterday, even if Netanyahu, you know, disappeared, he's not even the radical now.
Yeah, he's not even the radical. And I don't think a lot of Americans know that like Netanyahu is the most measured one of his Likud party. The rest of them are like absolutely crazy. I think to fix this problem, we would need to come up with some type of one-state solution or a two-state solution. I don't think the two-state would work anymore. But if we came up with a one-state solution where, look, you bring in these Palestinians, this is how I would do it. You bring in the Palestinians, make them citizens, give them some level of sovereignty. And I know they're going to say, well, this is a Jewish state. We need to maintain a Jewish majority because we'll be overrun with Palestinians and they'll have the majority. Okay, fair. How about this? We'll let you guys have a 51% representation over at the Knesset and your other government bodies. And then the Palestinians can have 49%. But once you start doing that, everything else will kind of start working its way out.
Because now they're stakeholders.
They're stakeholders. They have invested interest in the country succeeding. Hezbollah and Hamas are not going to be as active because they were resistance groups created to fight them, IRGC, et cetera. Once you answer the Palestine question, everything else kind of falls, gets fixed. Then we can actually have real diplomacy.
But you're not cynical enough. Israel founded Hamas to discredit any legitimate government. Netanyahu's bragged about it. So I love how any of us that are against any of this, we're called traitors. We're called, you know, agents of Qatar or whatever. but then meanwhile, Israel, Netanyahu was giving $2 billion a year to Hamas and stood down on October 7th and then has put Al-Qaeda in charge of Syria. So I don't want to hear it. Let me tell you who's on the payroll and paying the payroll of the radical Islamists. It's Israel. So I don't want to hear it. It's preposterous.
They knew October 7th was happening. And you know,
7.5 hour stand now.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, too. Egyptian intelligence warned them that they were going to plan to attack on October 7th. And the reason why Egypt told them is because Egypt, you know, they want to get their aid from us. So part of them getting the aid from the United States is playing nice with obviously Israel and stuff like that. So Jordan, same thing with Jordan, because we give them quite a bit of foreign aid as well.
Yeah, no, Egypt tortures to death whoever Israel tells them to.
Yeah. And they warned them. They told them, hey, you guys are going to get attacked. And when Israel got attacked, they're like, oh, well, we're going to see what we're going to cover our own asses here. Yeah, we told them and they didn't do anything. Well, Egypt.
Because Israel probably would blame them.
Precisely.
Remember how Qatar made Netanyahu sign contracts when he asked them to pay Hamas? Because they knew he'd turn around and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's controlled opposition. And, they always need an enemy there so they can say, look, see, we can't do negotiation with these guys. They're crazy. See, look, they want to kill us. And it allows them to...
Sure, and I heard you with Harrison. It was a good hour you did. And I get it. Expose the bad of Israel over and over again. I think most people know that now. My issue is, how do we stop AIPAC and how do we get Congress out of this cult so that they can't, like, literally drag us into full invasion of Iran? I mean, I'm about the issues here now.
The fund, yeah. So what I
would
do is...
And I do it, too, the litany of this and this and that in Israel.
Of course.
And it's kind of, you know, we do it. But at the end of the day, what about just them not running our foreign policy and not dragging us into nuclear war?
I think step one, we'd have to disable the lobbies, right? Step one would be disabling the lobbies and their ability to influence politicians, and we got to put politicians in that, you know, don't put Israel first.
Yeah, what other foreign government's allowed to control our Congress? I mean, cause it's not like our corporations and governments that do some lobbying. Israel brags they run it.
Yeah.
And the Mitch Perry goes, oh, Israel has no power. It's a tiny lobby. It's the biggest lobby now. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and it's not just them having influence over, you know, our politics. They also have an enormous amount of influence, like in big tech, for example. Like they bought TikTok, right? Now on TikTok, that controls, you know, a significant amount of the news that young people get.
Yeah, and by the way, soon as Larry Ellison took over TikTok, you can't even put my name in there now.
Really?
Like, it was bad before, but it's like total censorship now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they've banned the watermelon emojis from the river to the sea. They banned all that stuff. TikTok used to be very pro-Palestine, and they obviously, you know, got rid of that immediately. Then you look at, like, Meta. Meta made Zionist a protected term now, so it's considered hate
speech. Well, the ADL has said criticism of Zionism, you should be banned and debanked.
Yeah, and this is what I mean when I say if we're going to fix this problem domestically, disable the lobbies, get rid of this overrepresentation in big tech and the censorship issue because they control a lot of these censorship organizations. Then we need to have like some real discussion about creating a one-state or two-state solution. And if we do that, then everything else kind of falls into place.
Sure. The problem is that I don't see that happening. Israel instead is going for broke to control our domestic policy, to control foreign policy. And Israel's clearly going for broke. The people running it are. So I just see total disaster.
Yeah, I mean, if we don't change course now, I will say this. As much as I hate admitting this, Mamdani proved that if you campaign in a certain manner, even though he's a socialist, I'm not too much of a fan of that. But he basically created the blueprint that I think the Democrats are going to employ in 2028, where they're going to come in on the, we don't support Israel, we're grassroots, we're just like you, we want a better country, blah, blah, blah. I think that's going to be the way to get a lot of the young people to vote for you, especially since people on both the left and the right, young people, don't support.
And then meanwhile, the Democrats didn't try to block Trump with the War Powers Act, though. So they let him go ahead and do it, but so they can just say he did it, but they're part of it, too.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, I've always said it, left wing, right wing, the bird still always goes to Israel no matter what. And we need to get rid of politicians on both sides of the aisle that are, super supportive of Israel, because I think that's a big problem for us that controls our foreign policy.
Well, Israel's like the original Ukraine, where it's a place to launder money and do whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Sex offenders go there. Criminals run there, because they have the right of return. And then Israel doesn't like extraditing people, even when they're wanted in the United States.
Sure. Well, it's all coming to a head, though. What do we do about Trump getting ground troops ready? Because I'm told by the Pentagon, no, they're gearing up. They're being told to expect it to happen.
We all have to oppose it and criticize them hard and just lay into them and lay into, Hegseth, the whole cabinet, him, Rubio, J.D. Vance, everybody. Another thing, too, also I've noticed, Marco Rubio is not doing these negotiations with the Iranians, which he should be. That he's a Secretary of State. That's his job.
Yeah.
I think a big part of the reason why he's not doing it is because he knows that this war is a catastrophe. And
he's hiding. I agree.
It's going to hurt his 2028 ambitions for running for president. Even J.D. Vance, I could see, he's kind of realizing, oh, man, we might get cooked from this war.
Well, behind the scenes, he was against it. Once Trump did it, he was like, okay, I'm for it.
I read somewhere else that he was for it, but he said that it's got to be quick and you got to hit him very hard.
No, that's once Trump had already hit him.
Okay, that's after? Okay.
I'm not defending Vance, but he definitely doesn't like it.
Yeah. Well, it's going to tank his 2028 ambitions. And then I read somewhere else that, he might not even run for president in 2028. And I know Rubio, I think, is purposely staying away from doing talks with the Iranians because it would sabotage potentially his 2028 thing. But we're not going to forget. I remember you grilled him before. I think he is friends with you. But I think...
Well, the media never shows the full clip.
Yeah.
So he's going along.
I thought it was hilarious.
There's a scrum with a bunch of reporters. I wait, and then I get my question. But hey, this hearing today about censorship was brought up about me. Will you please defend? We've got the full clip. We ought to re-upload that because we were banned then. I'd just been taken off the internet, basically. So we put the full thing where I'm like polite for like 5 minutes going, I'm like, Senator, I'm Alex Jones. I'm being really censored. Can you guys talk about this? Because I've been taken off the internet for blah, blah, blah. And he goes, who are you? Nobody knows who you are.
Yeah.
And I went, so it looks like I'm being a jerk because the media, Reuters and AP,
you knew who you were.
They all, of course, but they all cut in at that point. And I was like, hey, man, I'm being, so that's why I got pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he says, I'll beat your ass. He goes, I'll take you myself.
Yeah. No, he was being very standoffish and pompous. But he's the one that should be doing
it. Well, I didn't know why he was like,
Fox.
Even Democrats I see in the halls don't act that hateful to me. I mean, I was just wondering, like, what do you think when he saw me? It was like Satan had walked up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he knew who you were. He was just trying to play dumb.
No, I know. So why was he such a jerk?
Because he's a jerk. He's totally owned and bought by, the Jewish lobby in America, especially in Florida. Oh, man, it's very bad.
So you think he's all about freeing up Cuba and stuff. I mean, I think he's eloquent and has a lot of good policies overall. I don't trust him.
Yeah, he's a good talker.
But, I mean, I guess he just doesn't like me.
Yeah, he's a good politician, which, if you're a good politician, that means you're going to be a good liar. Like, you know what I mean? That's what they're known for, but...
I see.
We're on a break.
Yeah. I saw the time. I was like, let me not get into the next topic.
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalist. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing him. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at thealexjonesshow.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, they're even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So if I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesshow.com and get incredible supplements. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our bovine colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why when callers call in and thank me, I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesshow.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesshow.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Relox Shows on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
This is
and then the Daily Wire thing.
This is totally cuckoo. This is the 30th time I'm keeping track that Trump says the Iran war is over.
Yeah.
So now Congress wanted to have the 60-day review for the war powers, so they should have done day one. And so now this just broke. We'll put the article up. Politico. Oh, you don't need war powers. The war is over. He said regime change has happened like 10 times.
Yep.
He said the straits opened 12 times. This is the 30th time in day 62. She does it every 2 days on average that he says it's over. This is the gaslighting. And I don't want to bash Trump, but I mean, look, they just say he was a liar all the time. I know you were a Trump supporter too. No, yeah. No, he was one of the most honest people ever. Now for the last like 10 months, it changed. He's become the biggest fucking liar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an insult to everybody. I mean, I even had Gavin McGinnis on, who's still a supporter of this. I like him. He goes, no, almost all my friends that are Trump supporters don't like this now and hate him.
Yeah.
He said like 90%. And I talked to everybody else. They get the same number.
Yeah, no one's favorable of this war. And
so So you just told me, and it's true, Daily Wire just laid off 50% of their staff. That's indicative of it being a literal Zionist-funded, Israeli-funded organization, just like Salem turns out is literally run by the IDF, funded by the government directly, while they're accusing us of being foreign agents, no evidence. Yeah. And so, but look, they're all falling apart, losing their audiences doing this. Trump's going to lose the midterms, and he's lying to Congress. Put it back up there, please, Politico, that we won the war again, so there's no need to have a war thing when it's a huge war. And let me read. Did Iran actually say it's over? I bet they didn't.
Yeah, no, they probably didn't. They never do. I think this is a play to kind of try to get the markets to recover because we hit like 120-something over the past couple of days. We've been flirting into 120 range.
And it's another manipulation of oil.
That's what I think. Anytime I've noticed this with Trump, because I've been watching what he says versus what the price of Brent is. Anytime we get close to 120, that seems to be the trigger point where he makes a big announcement.
I don't think you're right. He's doing that.
Yeah.
But I thought he could only do it two or three times. This is like dozens of times.
Yeah, pretty much.
So anytime how long can he cry wolf like this?
Well, like we were discussing before, I agree with you 100% that it's not making as much of a big change every time he says, you know, oh, the strait is open or war is done or we're winning or, you know, we're going to have peace or some other crap like that. It's not working as much. You know, we would see a $5, $10 drop. Now it's not going down that much every time he makes these announcements. But yeah, this is like the 20th time he's like said the war is over. I remember the first like couple weeks in. Yeah, the war's pretty much done. We're almost over.
It's 30 times.
Yeah.
30 times he said it's basically over, it is over, regime change.
Which is not a regime
change. He goes, because I killed him, it's regime change, yeah.
Is and the Rubio, worst regime in power now?
You saw Rubio 3 days ago go, well, actually, we killed the mullahs, so worse people are in now. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's crazy to me how like they just think the American public is dumb. It's like, dude, his son took over. You injured his son. He's like, you know, badly maimed. His daughter's dead. His dad is dead. I think his wife got killed in a strike, too. The people that are in power now are hardliners. They're worse. Now and these guys want a nuclear bomb, unlike, you know, Ali Khamenei who wants.
Yeah, they've come out saying, well, we had a follow before, but he's dead. And so we can put one together quick.
Exactly. And that's what I think they're probably racing towards if they don't already have one now at this point. Because we've proven the only way that you're going to stop U.S. and Israeli aggression is by having a nuclear bomb.
By North Korea.
Proved that. Precisely. Kim Jong-un proved that.
I mean, but like even the German leader, he was right when he said, I'm not a fan of mirrors. He said, Iran doesn't need Trump to make a fool of Trump. He's done it himself with all of this constantly, five times a day, changing the story. That's the worst thing. That's not 3D chess. That is the worst thing in politics is the flip-flop.
Yeah.
You know, if you flip-flop as a politician in a year, you're bad. He's flip-flopping every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think a big part of it is controlling the markets. I think that's a big part of it is trying to, you know, keep that Brent under 120. Because I've noticed
And they also catch all his insider trading on it.
Yes. Yeah. They're making plays right before he makes every Truth Social post. So
yeah, every time, like 3 hours before he says, we have peace, it's over, and oil plunges, they put in put options against oil.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's totally people insider trading.
And then he promised to give all the staff, the lowest level, from the chef to the butler to the secretary's
pardons. Yeah, on his way out. Yeah, he's going to have to. You know what? I predicted this. I think they're going to, like, these kinetic strikes that they did on these guys on the boats, the drug stuff, I think the Democrats, if they get in power, they're going to go after Hexeth.
Well, let's talk about that. You're a former federal DHS officer.
Yeah.
I've talked to lawyers and people. If they know it's coming to the U.S. and hits our waters, you can kill them. But when it's in international waters, you can't, right?
Yeah, well, so that's why he designated them as a terrorist organization. Because when he designated them as a terrorist organization, Trinidad, Aragua, et cetera, that allows him to utilize certain, you know, resources that otherwise wouldn't be available to him in like normally for law enforcement. Because I did drug trafficking for a while when I was on a job.
I knew that, yeah.
And, like, you know, these kinetic strikes, I was like, wow, this is
well, plus, you want to come up with a helicopter and a boat and grab them to get the evidence.
Exactly.
Why do you want to kill them?
Yeah, like, blowing them up is, I'm not going to lie, is kind of crazy. And I just, you know, what I think is more than likely going to happen is they're going to absolutely go after Hexeth.
No, I agree. And they're going to, if they have the Senate, they're going to be able to get the impeachment. So who do you think tricked Trump into doing that? Because it's obviously a setup.
With the kinetic strikes or labeling them as a terrorist organization?
Well, obviously, to do it, he had to do the terror thing, but that doesn't...
Yeah.
Where do you think he got the idea to do that himself?
I think he was looking at it like, we need to take Maduro out of power. So in order for me to take Maduro out of power, we know that we have an indictment on him because they indicted him back in like 2020. And then if they label Trinidad Aragua as a terrorist organization, that gives them military resources they can use, the intel community. Because in law enforcement, you know, intel and law enforcement don't really, it's like water and oil. Like it doesn't really blend too well. But if you label them as a terrorist organization, now you have the justification to utilize both law enforcement and intel resources. That's how I think they were able to get the justification. Hey, he's indicted in a criminal court here, but let's go ahead and use intel resources to go kidnap him and bring him in under the ruse of he's indicted. And that's what they—that's how they were.
Yeah,
able
I mean,
to
I think they may not get impeachment on that. That they could probably argue.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, that one.
But blowing up boats.
But blowing up boats, yes, I think that's going to come back to bite them.
Well,
in
it did. It looks like some were with drugs, and they tracked him on the beach. They think they have that evidence, but others weren't even coming towards the U.S. and blow him up.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, maybe they had drugs or whatever, but, like, where's our jurisdiction? We don't know a boat's coming here to blow it up.
Yeah, it's murky at best. It's very murky at best. I remember, like, when we used to arrest people for, you know, because I did maritime smuggling for a while, like, you needed to establish that they were, like, either headed towards the U.S. or close to the U.S. hitting our waters to justify, you know, arresting them, prosecuting them, et cetera. This stuff here with kinetic strikes... You know, that's a bit different, and it's a bit much. And I do think that
well, some cases are blowing them up 300, 400 miles from U.S. waters.
Yeah. And they're probably saying, oh, well, these drugs were intended to come to the United States. That's probably what they're using to justify it. But in the intel world, man, like, they don't play by rules. It's completely different versus law enforcement. Like, in the intel world, they could kind of do whatever they want because for them it's like we're gathering intel. We don't have to present anything in front of a court, in front of people.
Sure.
Due process.
Well, here's where I'm at. Less than 1% of opium production in 2001 was coming out of Afghanistan. Previous to that was like half. Mm-hmm. 2 years after we liberated, by 2024, it's 80% of world production. And it wasn't the Chinese shipping in here. It was our own government, a lot of them. And yeah. We hit Russia with it. So the Chinese were involved in a lot of the precursors to fentanyl. And I'm not defending it. But their argument is, hey, you've been dumping heroin on us for 200 years. So, but it's our own government. It's like, I don't want to hear about, oh, you're blowing boats up. When almost nothing's coming out of Venezuela. You want to take them out for stealing elections, the communist Chinese, Cuba, you know, our own thing. Do that. But oh, the drugs, when our own government is literally the main purveyor of drugs in this country.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if we're going to be honest, you know, 60% of the drugs roughly come in through the southwest border, right, when I was there in Laredo, you know, 3 hours from here. The majority of drugs come in through the southwest border nowadays. This isn't the 1980s with, you know, maritime smuggling. Like, yeah, do they still smuggle drugs in maritime-wise? Of course. But nowadays, it's all, you know, a majority of it comes through the land via Mexico. So if we really want to have a war on drugs, you know, you should be targeting the Mexicans, not necessarily the Venezuelans. But I think, again, this was all kind of a ruse. Put them on a terrorist watch, put them as a foreign terrorist organization. That gives you an enormous amount of resources. You said resources to go after Maduro, kidnap him out of Venezuela, do kinetic strikes on Venezuela.
And then they put in the vice president communist and don't even have elections.
Exactly, yeah.
So they put in I think with Iran, it's like, okay, I wouldn't mind if the Mullahs fold, but Israel's going to want some weaker state. They'll put something worse in.
Yeah.
Or break it in three pieces.
They were hoping with Iran that it would be similar to Venezuela, where it's like, okay, we get rid of Ali Khamenei, maybe we'll get someone in that's going to be a bit more, you know, favorable to the United States. They got a son who's going to be worse. So it's like, you know, it was just such a.
So,
you know,
looking at your crystal ball, what do you think happens to Trump?
I think he's going to lose the midterms, I think he's going to lose the I think we're going to lose the midterms, and I think that there's a very serious chance that he might actually get impeached and maybe even go to jail because the base is not happy with this. A lot of us voted for no new wars. We voted for more affordability because we saw what happened with the Kamala, you know, with Kamala and Biden, and he's doing everything he campaigned against. We're in another war. Gas prices are high. Affordability is, you know, through the roof. It's not good. So everything.
And he's telling us all the never Trumpers should be our gurus now. We must follow Mark Levin.
Yeah. The Epstein files was an enormous debacle, right?
And why do you think that's going on?
The Epstein files as far as
the cover up.
Probably because his name was in there a bunch of times. His biggest mistake was campaigning, saying he was going to release them and then dragging his feet. And then when people said, hey, release the files, he's like, well, it's a Democrat hoax. It's not real. It's fake. Oh, you're a loser if you want these files.
Yeah, he didn't say, no, me being in it's a hoax.
Yeah.
He said, and then his wife comes out a month ago, says, no, it's real, investigate it. And he didn't know that speech was going to happen. So that looks like some problems in paradise.
Yeah, it just.
And I'm not cheerleading that, guys. I'm in horror watching Trump disintegrate because we needed him to succeed. The world's in a major time of change. It's so dangerous. So all people go, oh, God, you don't like him. Just shut up and be positive. We were right about Iran. You were wrong. Stop shooting your mouths off, dumbasses. I'm not some liberal that just wants to dunk on Trump. I know that if he goes sideways, which he is, we're done because these people are coming in.
Yeah, and I mean, I voted for him too, right? So you want him to win. And, you know, this, I've just been very disappointed. The Iran war is kind of where I was like, come on, man. Like, I supported the immigration when he was like doing the raids in Minneapolis. I actually praised him for it because I was like, look, doing interior immigration.
We should do that job.
It's hard. What was that?
You used to do that job, right?
Yeah. Well, not so much the immigration, more investigations. But regardless, doing interior enforcement and deporting illegal aliens is very difficult, and most presidents don't have the balls to do it. He actually, you know, and I wish he didn't pull out of Minneapolis. He should have, like, just kept going. But
well, now his new says they're going to back off.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's so bad, dude. It's like go to war with Iran and not do the mass deportations that you promised. You know what I mean? It's just like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing?
It's like that meme that shows Pawn Stars. They're like, I'd really like to do this. Well, best I can give you is World War III.
Because he ran on going hard on immigration. That's a big part of the reason why so many people voted for him. So it's like, dude, stick with the mass deportations like you were trying to do. You know, don't bend to these guys in Minneapolis losing their minds. The shootings were justified with Alex Preddy and Renee Good. They were completely justified. Don't let these liberals make you, you know, run you off. But I do think that he wanted to create a little bit of political, wiggle room for himself with this war with Iran, which is probably why.
No, I agree. I want to hit two final topics. I don't know if I gave you this, guys. We moved down here. This Jason Whitlock clip. I love his show because he really goes after Erica Kirk from the right perspective. I don't want to just hate Erica Kirk. I don't want to just dunk on her because he gets views. She is her own worst enemy with the optics and what she's doing, how she operates. You guys have this clip? We do? Great. I want to go to that in a minute, but first. Not talking about myself, but it is a big story. You were there yesterday right before we got shut down. I know you get it because you're smart guys being law enforcement. The court ordered through their receiver them to turn off the internet and stuff, so we had to leave.
Yep.
They ordered us out of the building 3 days ago, but then 2 days ago, the Third Circuit says, no, the receiver is removed or suspended. He can't make decisions, but I'm not going to countermand him. So I did leave. Plus, they did turn off the internet. Mm-hmm. InfoWars is down. And a bunch of other stuff got turned off. Like they said, they have the order.
Yeah.
But they plan to have the Onion come in right when that happened and take over. That part didn't happen.
Yeah.
So they shot at us and missed, but shit at us and hit, as they say in Wisconsin. So they didn't get their full deal. They're in total panic mode. But what do you make of that? I mean, this is just crazy.
You know, censorship, you know, a lot of times doesn't work. It creates a Streisand effect. And it's funny because now you guys are getting, you guys are bigger than ever.
Exploding.
Crazy numbers. And
thank you, listeners, for spreading the word. It's only you. Drudge Report, all of you. It's I love it, though, because they are beside themselves angry.
You know, left-wing media has really been taking a huge hit over the past couple of years because, you know,
you mentioned
loonier and loonier every year. You know, it's becoming loonier and loonier. It's just, and the Onion, I don't even, you know, what, were these guys popular back during the Obama era? Like, they're cooked. Nobody watches them.
Well, it's new owners. The former censorship czar at MSNBC, Brian Stelter's counterpart on CNN, with Bloomberg funding, Bloomberg owns and runs it through every town. So they just got, it's losing money. But I guess they thought these young kids will go out and. Have you seen the comedy they put out? All pedophilic and pro-Satan.
Yeah, I remember you showing the.
It's not even funny.
It's weird. Yeah, no, it's nuts. And look, the left is not, especially for young men. They've been ostracizing, you know, men and young men, especially the left, for a very long time. And this is why they don't get the male vote anymore, because these guys are over here, you know, pushing gynocentric social order norms of, you know, women are great, men are bad, you know, toxic masculinity this, toxic masculinity that. So they've lost the male vote for a very long time. And if you look at, like, the biggest left wing. You know, podcasters, nobody wants to be any of these guys. These guys are losers. Anyone wants to be like Hassan Piker? No. Paint their fingernails black, Dean Withers, you know, Adam Mockler. All these guys are like soy boys. So no one wants to, no, men don't identify with these types of dudes that are politically correct. It's just, this is not how we are.
And then they wonder why they have no viewers. And then they think if they could get my website, they would be so popular now.
Yeah.
It's, and like, no, dude, you'll be, I mean, my lawyers, they're smart. They're like, we almost ought to let them have it. It's going to be so spectacular when they're trying to wear your skin. It's going to blow up so bad. I said, no, it's wrong to let them do it. They're violating my rights. Beat them.
Yeah.
And we are. But, I mean, yeah, imagine if the lunatics actually did that. Like, they thought they were going to come to the studio, actually host it there.
Yeah.
As a big, morally, I had to block it, but I, at a sick level, if I was Machiavellian, I'd been welcoming this.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, you know, they acquire it and then they try to do a show on it, and it's going to just plummet because no one watches.
Well, it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, it'll be. Yeah.
Not that it's funny, not that they're funny, but it's so funny how pathetic they are.
Yeah, because they can't be honest, right? They have to. They got to dance around, you know, race identity. Well,
they wouldn't do a live hour show like you're doing without days of meeting beforehand and notes and all.
Yeah, we can say this, we can't say that. This is offensive. This is racist.
Although, let's say this: we're so smart. Let's manipulate people.
Let's be politically correct. You know, let's not offend anybody, but at the same time, be entertaining. It's like, dude, it doesn't like.
How do we say horrible lies and get away with it? That's what they're like.
Exactly. And this is why left-wing media is dying, because they can't be honest, they can't be truthful, they're too politically correct, and they're not relatable to the people.
And we all have our own deep research. We're into this. When it looks like we're shooting from the hip, confidence is not shooting from the hip, it's that you've done it so much. And so they have no confidence. Like, my problem is I'm too confident and relaxed, I got to remember I'm on air. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like...
It's just natural, man.
Yeah.
Well, when you're authentic, you don't have to worry about that, right? Yeah. When you're authentic, it's like you just talk, it is what it is.
But then you seem authentic, too, but don't you sometimes go, God, I really don't give a shit. I got to give a shit a little more. Like, yeah. I'll get in front of, like, 5,000 people. I'm like, okay. I'm okay. I got to kind of remember I'm in front of 5,000 people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I need a little butterflies again.
But that's what people respect, I've realized. Like, people would prefer someone who, you know, is rough around the edges but authentic over someone that's, like, extremely refined and polished but a fraud.
Well, the problem is when you start trying to think about every calculation, I already know it's right. I don't even need to sit there and think. I don't even think what people think about this.
Yeah. That's well, why for them, they're walking on eggshells, man. These guys, like these progressives, I've never worked with them before. Like, you know, do an interview with them. Oh, don't ask me about this. So we can't talk about that. Blah, blah. They're walking on eggshells all day.
Oh, I know. That's why I get so pissed at people. We've had hundreds of guests go out live and say, I've never done that. But I've had like former hosts do it. It made me really mad, even though I liked the person. Just, oh, God, I was so radical. Even he told me, watch it. And I'm like, say what I said it. Well, actually, you didn't. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, ready to, you know, I'm trying to act. That pisses me off. And I had Bongino, I told you about yesterday, do that. He goes, oh, yeah, I was on a show 10 years ago. And he said, during a break, hey, let's lie to the listeners. You mind telling a lie with me?
The Epstein thing made him jump ship. Like that was, I think he kind of came to a place where he was like, okay, I'm the deputy FBI director. I don't really have pull here. Pam Bondi and Cash are telling me what to do. My reputation is getting cooked. What am I going to do? And I think that's a big reason why he left.
Worse than that, though. He jumped ship out of it to be the focus, but kept carrying the water.
You said what? He jumped out
because he didn't want to be the focal point anymore, but then he kept carrying the water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
He's like, I'm Bongino. I'm tough. I'll tell you what's real. I'll tell you what's not. I'm the Sopranos. And you know, you better watch it. I'm really tough. And Epstein did kill himself. And Crookshanks alone. And Alex Jones got on the phone and said, let's lie to my listeners. Hey, Mr. Gaines, am I lying to my listeners with me today? I'm like, I've never. I'm always like, hey, what are you talking about?
That's insane. Like, but when he said...
He like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, shit.
I saw the clip just out of the blue when Trump attacked me for the first time, or the second time. He's just like, hey, I'm Bongino here. I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't really do his voice. He's like, he's always trying to act up like, I'm New York badass, watch yourself. Alex Jones got me on the phone. I shouldn't have done it, but he told me I'm going to lie to people today. Does that sound good for you? And I said, well, I understand, but all right, I shouldn't have gone along with it. But I can't remember what the lie was, though, but he told me he wanted to lie to people. You do it.
Oh, man.
Anyways, I know I'm cussing. I need to stop. He's just such a tough guy.
Yeah, you're cursing more than me. That's how I know it's bad.
He's what?
And I said, you're cursing more than I am, so I know I'm doing good.
No, he finally pushed me over the line with that. I mean, I'm just like, because, I mean, everybody knows, like, I just ask guests, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, no. You've always been very transparent about that. Let me talk about whatever. Let me rant about what I want to rant about.
You know, well, I'm not even defending myself. It's the most ridiculous lie. Imagine telling a lie, like, but there's some other people who've done that, too. Other right-wingers. It's like this thing. It's like, I don't know, man. I'm tired of it.
Well, they don't want to lose access to the White House and lose, you know, certain privileges and stuff like that. You know, certain guys just... And a lot of these guys will not criticize the war, man. Like, and it's kind of frustrating. Like, I'll watch... You know, I have an enormous amount of respect. I like Patrick Bet David, but it's like, dude, you know, he won't say anything about how bad this war is, right? And they're, like, sitting there constantly defending the war, him and
Adam. Well, you know, he's the airborne and officer and all that.
Yeah, but...
I mean, he's in the club.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, like, you know, I get it. Like, they don't want to... A lot of these guys don't want to go all the way because they don't want to lose access. The White House, lose their press pass, or whatever it is.
I think it's beyond that. I think
the information and make the decision. The fifth.
I think Patrick Bet David cares about America. I think he's a good guy.
I agree with you.
But
yeah.
When you've been spooked up like him from the start, he's just. They're
I like the guy. I do like the
military. Any military. It's just like they're programmed to follow it.
Yeah.
And only when there's a war. He doesn't follow everything else. But once the war starts. I have so many military guys, Delta Force, Army, you name it, foreign government. They go, Alex, it's bad and it's not going well, but now that it's started, we got to get behind it. I'm like, no, because it's going to get a lot worse, a threat escalation. They go, well, you're right, but come on, let's.
And this is what I mean, because you're like, yo, how do we solve this? Like, all of us need to stand and be like, yo, this war is bad. This war is bad. But when you got people like, you know, Patrick or some of these other guys, you know, that aren't, you know, Benny, Patrick, you know, Wish Bongino, I wish more of these guys were more.
Well, here's the thing about being, you know, Army Special Operations or that. They're so follow orders. Even once they're out, they just can't, like, it's like, that's the commander. You know, they can't. Yeah. Which is what you want in soldiers.
Of course.
So I'm not giving them a pass, but that they're programmed for that.
Yeah, but now with the, you know, the size of their audiences, like, come on, man, you have a duty to, like, you know, number one.
Well, you don't think he doesn't know his audience would get bigger if he threw Trump under the bus? See, the thing is, and I'm not defending him, I had to do it because I have a responsibility. When Trump's like, I'll annihilate your whole civilization one day and never return, I'm like,
that was crazy.
And he goes, tune into Levin. Levin's like, use the atomic bombs again. I don't know much about the military, but, and so when they want, and I'm like, okay, I got to come out and say the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah.
If you keep doing that, Trump, yeah, you're like, you know,
no, I was all arranged.
If he'd have kept doing it, I was on an airplane to belong in the White House.
Yeah, dude, like,
because let me tell you, he didn't listen to the times I met with him to anything I said or he's called me. He listens to being bullhorned.
Yeah.
And I'm not some liberal on a bullhorn. One time I did bullhorn in the White House, it was last term. He talked about it on Fox, got all this attention. So I don't want to go to Mar-a-Lago, but if I got to go, I'm going to go camp out for a week with a gigantic industrial bullhorn.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is very bad. And I wish other people in the right wing, you know, would call him out on this and say this is bad.
I mean, I was buying tickets when I said 25th Amendment. I mean, I was about to, he backed off. They say, we're not going to use nukes. We don't mean that. I was like, okay, good. And I said, I don't have to buy tickets. I don't want to confront you. But I have a responsibility. We're getting like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde behavior. I got to say something.
No, agreed. And that's how you've got to use your platform. Because like, we don't want an Iraq part two. You know what I mean? We're still paying for the cost of Iraq the 20 plus years later.
Absolutely. Also here, oh, you got money to bash Trump. No, about 30% of my audience wants total war and death, and we actually lost a bunch of sponsors and money. And I don't give a rat's ass.
Yeah.
I came out and said 9/11 was an inside job the first day it happened. I was on 200 stations, one of the biggest in the country. I lost 70% of my stations in a month. And they called and said, stop now. We love you, son. I was like, you know, 27 years old. Shut up. And I didn't. And I was happy to go back to 30 stations. Now I'm on almost 400 and something.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying, I've been through this. I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. I don't think about the cost. But if anything, it costs me money to bash Trump.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of money.
And you lose opportunities, too.
A lot of money.
You lose a lot of opportunities, especially if you're in the right wing. You lose opportunities.
Oh, suddenly all these other cool hosts that I like, when they break something, they don't return my calls now.
Yep.
But they show you.
Same here. Same here.
But they're sunshine patriots.
Yeah, like the same exact thing here. When I was critical about the war, whatever, people that I was talking to before kind of like, I don't know if we want to associate with you anymore, and it's unfortunate, but we got to talk.
Hey, how do people find you?
Find me, guys. I'm everywhere. Myron Gaines X on YouTube, Rumble, Kick. I stream everywhere pretty much almost every day.
What's your show today?
I'm going to go back to Miami. I'll do Fresh and Fit with some girls later tonight at like 11.
Some girls, huh?
Yeah, we'll have some girls. We need to have you on with some girls. That'd be hilarious.
I don't know about that. Keep me away from the girls. Hey, Harrison Smith takes over now. Be sure and support us. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for all the support. We love you. AlexJonesLive.com. Because of God's providence, I was able to get on air in 1994. By 1996, I had a local radio show with number one ratings because Freedom is popular. By 97, I was syndicated. God's hand has been on this operation. It's incredible. We set up InfoWars, the URL, in 1997, 28 years ago. And finally, the Democrats, after almost a decade of attacks, have been successful shutting it down. But they don't control the InfoWar because the InfoWar is not a URL. It is we the people. It is you. And that's where we are right now. So our enemies hope and pray they can claim we've been defeated and you believe the lie and go back to sleep. It's not going to happen. We together, not just myself, but the viewers and listeners and our guests and our crew, are the epicenter of the great awakening against the globalist great reset. So this is your mission if you choose to accept it. Take these two URLs, alexjoneslive.com for all the news articles, all the videos, the live streams, and hit your email list, your text message list every day and say, the forbidden information is here, alexjoneslive.com. And then this URL is just as important, alexjonesapp.com, where you can download on Android and on Apple, the free Alex Jones app with our live feeds, news, and more. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so critical. We have people power. It will override the AI. It will override the globalists. But you have to get excited, and you have to take action. The Alex Jones Network is launched. AlexJonesLive.com is launched. AlexJonesApp.com is launched. Now the ball is in your court in this victory as true patriots, as the vanguard of the resistance against tyranny, as modern Paul Revere's, to take your ride. Do it now and share those URLs, and we are unstoppable.
weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.